And welcome to another edition of Zoomed In. I'm the host, Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by Amy Hernandez Matsumoto, an adjunct professor at the gorgeous WCU Vancouver campus, which I just spent almost a week at last week, in fact, with the all-university communicators. It was just an amazing trip. It was great to visit the campus. So you're an adjunct faculty member. And I don't often interview adjunct faculty members. I usually interview people about research and this and that, but adjuncts often have a very specialized expertise in something. And so tell me about the class or classes that you teach. What is it that you deal with? And then I want to bring up a specific class and the reason that I'm talking to you today.
Yeah. So I do only just teach the one class. It is Intro to ELL, English Language Learners, soon to be MLL, Multiple Language Learners, because many of our ELL students come actually already knowing more than one. But
Breaking news. You heard it here first.
Yeah. You have to go through the state still. But yeah, I have been a middle school teacher for the past 24 years, and I have taught in Eastern Washington as well as now in Vancouver, Washington. And I own a restaurant with my husband. And so I decided to take a break, and I was offered the opportunity to teach this class, particularly to future teachers. So I'm excited to be here.
And I'm really sad that I didn't know about this restaurant, or else when I was in Vancouver, I would have gone to it. Next time. You're on. So I got an email from Shamim Raka, who's a faculty member on our Vancouver campus. And, Shamim has dedicated her life's work to DEI issues and curriculum that has all of that integrated. It's vital, and she reached out and said, "Hey, I got to tell you about this really neat class." And it was being taught by you. And she was relaying some instances of people sharing culture. And I thought, this sounds amazing. So that's why I reached out. And specifically, you had an instance with a young man who we're actually going to talk to a little bit later. And so our viewers will meet him. But tell me about that. What was the onus behind the lesson? And tell me about just how it went.
Yeah, well, like I said, I help prepare future teachers to work with MLL students, English language learners. And so many times our students here in the area haven't had much experience talking or learning about actual people from the different countries around the world. And we talk a lot about building background, making connections with students, making connections with home, their families as well. And a lot of the questions are like, well, how do I do this? And what if I can't speak the same language? And, I've never had this experience. And I've also always seen things like in other countries, how they do what's called the human library, where they have just people from different like places in life come, and then you just meet and talk with them and you learn about them and their life. And so that's kind of what I did with these cultural interviews. I invited many of my past students actually from Vancouver, and then some of my parents of past students, as well as just people that I've known in the community. And we had multiple guests from Mexico, Vietnam, Guam, Samoa, Bangladesh, as well as Syria, Ethiopia, Japan. So they all came, and the students beforehand had prepared a variety of questions that, like, once they're in the classroom, what type of questions might they ask their students or their students' families? And they wanted to learn about the whole process of what it was like to learn English in the U.S., or if they had attended schools, what had helped and what, actually didn't work, and what they can do to be better teachers. And so it was wonderful. They came, it was about an hour, and the students each, there was roughly eight groups, and I want to say each group got to speak with three different country groups and language groups.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the students that were there that weren't your past students, right? The ones who were receiving this message. I mean, it was probably overwhelming because you just listed a lot of different countries, right? But what was the reception on their part? How much did they like it, enjoy, learn something? Talk about that.
Yeah, many of them said they wish they could have talked to all of them, which if we had had more time, of course. But many of the community members, they took off work or they were students, you know, my past students that are now WSU Vancouver students. And so they had to go to their classes and whatnot. But, you know, I think they were really surprised. One thing that I remember in a reflection was that one of the students was like, I need to really make sure I learn my student's name and how to pronounce that properly. And they also wanted to get ideas about when they have substitutes, what can they do to make sure that they leave like pronunciation guides for their names? Because they had heard from one of my Vietnamese students that how embarrassed they were every time they mispronounced their name and how it was like kind of a laughing moment for others, you know, to bully her. They were surprised at how much all the countries and the way they go to school is more of a communicative type of environment. The teachers and families are extremely close. There isn't their you're the teacher, I'm the student kind of thing. It's like they're a collective group. And they found that to be true in all the different cultures and languages. They also got to practice like what certain accents are in Vietnamese or in Spanish. And I think one of the things that the kids or the students loved the most was that the couple from Syria and Ethiopia own a hummus food cart. And they're also at our Vancouver farmers market. So they told them, you just come on the weekend, say that you're who you are and what class you're in, and we'll give you free food. And so many students that following weekend did. And they were like, I had falafel, I had dolmas, I had hummus. And so, I think honestly though, for them, it was the most important thing is they realized they can do this and that they can talk about culture and language in a safe and fun way where they can really get to know not only their students, but their students' families.
First of all, there are not very many accents that I'm going to try to attempt to do because it would not turn out well for me. As a restaurant owner, you can appreciate this. You provide food, people will be there. You know, there's something about community with food and often good music. In terms of timeline, it's interesting that I'm talking to you today and only a few days ago, our state school superintendent, Chris Rakedahl, spoke at the education summit that we, as a college, hosted at WSU Tri-Cities. And his message was about civility. And there were a couple different prongs to this message. And one of the main messages that he had was on language. And the 2 years in high school is not nearly enough. If we want to increase civility across the board, and certainly we're lacking this in the United States, but we have to foster better understanding of those around us, different ideas, cultures, whatever. And one of the main ways we could do this is language. And he's been a strong supporter of dual language and let's get it in our schools. Let's provide a lot of opportunity. And, you know, in addition to the two schools, and my own kids go to a great school district, and what's provided? Spanish and French, you know, that's it. And my middle school student, Spanish is a zero hour class. So it's really just French, you know, because none of the middle schoolers want to go at 7 in the morning, you know. And so increasing the ability to have this language acquisition, familiarity with other mm-hmm. languages breeds familiarity with culture and fosters more civility. So I don't know if you wanted to comment about that.
Well, yeah, actually, funny because I was one of the first dual immersion middle school teachers in my middle school at White East Middle School before coming here, and I set that up. We have had dual immersion programs in two elementaries. And then about 5 years ago, we brought it to our middle school. And now it's at the high school. So, I mean, it's amazing. By the time my students left eighth grade, they had already received their stamp of language acquisition for their high school diploma. It's called a stamp test. And they had already passed that. And so also at my middle school, we started the first 6th through 8th grade Spanish courses. So they had Passport to Spanish 1, Passport to Spanish 2. And then by 8th grade, they took a high school Spanish 1. And I'm still in contact with many of my students. And they always tell me their junior year, I passed all the AP exams. I passed the stamp test. And so it's true. Starting students earlier gives them so much more exposure. And like running a restaurant, I also like to run community in my classrooms. And so when my students take my classes, we put on international book fairs so that other people in the community can get books in Spanish and English or in French or in other different languages. I've had my Spanish students or students that were learning Spanish help moms get their food handler's card and take the test in Spanish also. And then the students have to figure out, but they're, because of their great reading skills and because they've started a little bit earlier, they can help. And then they'll look at the English to help them take the test. So,
right. And a really good dual language anyway, isn't necessarily just about the language. And I think about, so in addition to my communications major, when I went through WSU, mm-hmm. I also majored in Spanish, already spoke Spanish. And so I didn't really learn if I couldn't pass out. They wouldn't let me pass out of the classes. Right. I had to take the classes. I was way above what we were discussing language wise. But I really valued some of my literature classes, Latin American film class, Spanish film class. And all of those I thought were just wildly important to me understanding other cultures within Latin America. I thought it was just really vital. And I can only imagine if that's that transitions down to younger ages. Yeah. Funny Brandon, story. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Brandon, you'd be, if you were back in middle school now, you would be able to take that stamp test and you would be able to get the actual credits now. So now they do have that in place because we have many students that are native Spanish speakers and fluent in both reading and writing and listening and speaking. And so they do get credit for it now.
So talk to me about this amazing young man that was in one of your classes, Alec. And this will really preview, I think, us having Alec on in our next segment here.
Yeah. So, of course, because, you know, with the current situation, we are receiving numerous Slavic students from Ukraine and Russia in this area. And even in one school district quite close, they received over 1,400 students from Ukraine and Russia just this year. And so now teachers are like, what do we do? You know, they need to learn about the culture. They need to understand the differences in language so that they can properly teach them English. And so I'm like, Alec, can you help me find a Ukrainian or Russian student? And even though I had reached out to one of my past students who was from Kazakhstan. And so he was able to go, but I also wanted someone from Ukraine. And then in the end, Alec's like, I can't find anybody, but I want to do it. I said, you do? So he was like, yes, please. I really want to do this. So he was, of course, involved in knowing what the questions were going to be. So he got to talk a lot with his parents to make sure and kind of see. And then, yeah, he was our guest. So he went from student to guest when they all came in. And the beautiful thing is when he met my former student from Kazakhstan, he was so impressed and he was so happy. And I didn't realize till afterwards, but they were just like answering questions, feeding off each other, teaching, you know, showing them how to, you know, of course, the written language in Russian and Ukraine, telling them about the schooling and all that stuff. But then afterwards, he pulled me aside and he just thanked me. And he said, you know, I have always wanted to be able to talk about my culture. You know, I've never had the opportunity in my educational upbringing. And so this was the chance. And he thanked me for that. And he said, but the other thing is, I have always wanted to meet another Slavic student that had been in college. So that was his first time. And that really shocked me because I know like we have, you know, even in Pullman and here, they have multicultural groups. And so usually kids, you know, they kind of find each other if they need that support. But he hadn't, and he's a junior. So that just really kind of touched me because I know that he has mentioned like his struggles with, you know, even his own parents. He's the only one in his family that goes to college. And he's the only one that he knows in the Ukrainian community that is going to college and wants to be a teacher. So it was just really important for him. And he felt really empowered, which, you know, made me happy. So it's also led me to today, him and a Spanish-speaking student and one of my students who signs, they're going to be just teaching basic commands that teachers should know in Russian, Spanish, and in ASL.
Well, that's you kind of answered the next question. I mean, I think that's a really nice moment anyway. It's very poignant, you know, for him being able to do this and us being able to see that, you know, occur. But then it's also a really great preview for when I talked to him. But I was going to ask what was next, right? So how do we leverage this situation, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can provide more opportunity for students like Alec, no matter where their culture may be, because that's gotta be lonely, not only being, you know, somebody who's, you know, not in whatever the dominant culture is, but, you know, there often are students who can at least find two or three like them, you know, and share culture. And that's gotta be a very lonely place and feeling marginalized.
Yeah, I know he has, and he has shared with me before too, just about, you know, where in his educational upbringing as well too, how many of his teachers didn't understand how to work with second language learners and didn't necessarily make him feel welcome or included. And we talk a lot about how we have, as teachers, have to dig into the funds of knowledge of our students and help them be big parts of like our classroom instruction and what we do. And so because many of my junior students this year are in now practicums and they're going into classrooms, so they're going to come in contact with Spanish language, you know, Spanish speaking students, Ukrainian Russian speaking students, possibly students that are hard of hearing as well. So so today is the day where in the last hour the students will spend some time with each of our three funds of knowledge teachers and learn, you know, how to say open your textbook or share out with a partner or good morning and we'll see you next week. You know, basic things that a teacher can feel comfortable with. And they've even designed handouts with vocabulary, with QR codes so they can pull up the pronunciation of it. They can see it written in English and, you know, in the actual language. And so they've done a great job preparing these and I'm so proud of them. And again, I asked just for Ukrainian and Alex says, can I do both Russian and Ukrainian? So I said, okay, go ahead.
Well, in a former life, I appreciate the pronunciations anyway, because I was a sports broadcaster. And often we would have folks, you know, from different places around the world, especially college basketball. And, you know, I always wanted to get the name right.
Yeah.
Not only because I was communicating to so many people, but just because it was the right thing to do. Right. And, and I think it's just really helpful. And I'd love to see that everywhere. Right. Just having that pronunciation. I think that would be really nice, you know, in terms of, I don't know, increasing equity and just boosting our humanity. I think that'd be great.
Well, and we expect we work with our teachers, our future teachers, so that they know how to work with second language learners so they can teach them English, right? But I want to always help them remember what it's like to learn a new language. You know, it's not easy. And to be able to have to do, to, you know, speak, listen in the social aspect, and then have to do school in the academic aspect of it in another language. So today is, again, that opportunity for the students to kind of put themselves in their future students' shoes, you know, and see what it's like to learn another language.
All right. Amy, do you have anything you want to add before we go to our next segment with Alec?
No, I just really, you know, thank you, Brandon, and everybody for, you know, allowing us to talk about this. And I'm so glad that it's working in the right time with possible more dual immersion programs, more language classes, because I think, you know, learning language and culture is so important for us to develop empathy and, you know, really be better teachers too. So.
100% agree. Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it. You've been watching Zoomed In. Coming up on the next segment, we've got Alec Pasco. We're so excited to have him. Thank you very much for watching.
Thank you.
And we're back here on Zoomed In. Very much a thank you to Amy Matsumoto for joining us. And now I'm joined by Alec Pasco, you're a current student, right, Alec?
Hi. Yep. I'm a junior in the elementary education program.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I was, you know, Amy had talked about having former students come in and then current students. It was all mixed in there. But I would love to just talk to you about your experience, maybe a little bit of your background and then your experience as a student, you know, especially the first couple of years coming into year three. Amy, your experience not having run into a lot of people with your background or being able to interact with folks like that, and it was kind of a new experience for you. So I would love to turn it over to you, and just you can talk about your background a little bit, and then you know, how you ended up at WCU WCU Vancouver.
Yeah, sure. So my family are immigrants, and they came to the United States, and they had me from Ukraine, and so I went through the public school system, and a lot of the times it was, there's not too many, like, you know, Russian or Ukrainian kids. There was a few, but mostly I was just always with English speakers, and I just had a lot of really good teachers, so I went into the education program to become one as well, and they just inspired me greatly. And yeah, Amy was talking about it with me. I haven't seen them, at least not a single like other Russian or Ukrainian speaker on campus. So I never really get to talk with them unless it's just with my family, and then some, like a couple really close friends. But again, most of the people I know are English speakers. So it was really cool when Amy kind of introduced me to another Russian speaker.
I think she mentioned some of the numbers, people that have moved to the area, like the influx of individuals. You know, I of course some years back was in Battleground, went fishing, and every single person around me was Russian, and I didn't know that there was a decent population. But being through the system, though, education. First of all, I think it's neat that you you wanted to be a teacher. And you recognize the influence others had on you. Talk about that lonely road, I guess, because even if you had friends and you spoke English and all that, being able to share culture, you know, with others, how hard is that to be on campus?
Well, you know, I honestly, like growing up, going through school, even though I spoke it at home, I was losing my native language because I just was never having a chance to speak it. And I was honestly, I lost a lot of it. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. You know, I couldn't talk to my grandpa. But now in my 20s, I'm back in university. And even though I don't have friends who speak my native language, I started relearning it again. I can read. I can write. I'm just trying to really get out there. You know, I'm hoping to go teach in like Belarus for 1 year. Once I graduate, just spend a year there, and then come back, you know, all fresh. And so, I don't know. It's tough sometimes. Sometimes I really just want to speak it. It's like an urge. There's sometimes you want to express yourself a certain or particular way that English words just don't do it, you know? And so,
well, and yeah, I mean, and not only that, but if you were speaking it at home and nowhere else, I mean, whether we like it or not, a lot of the conversations with parents are around the same topics, the same kind of things, every day. And so your vocabulary becomes limited to those items, right?
It is limited.
Right.
Yeah.
So what, you know, I think it's amazing. Your idea of going to Belarus, I think sounds fun. Sounds worthwhile. Definitely, do it while you're young and uninhibited by other things. But what do you hope to do with the degree and with that experience? And you know, what are you, I guess, looking at? What kind of outlook do you have for maybe being able to be a positive influence on someone else?
Well, I come from a background of, I guess you could call it like a diverse background. I've known a lot of different people, and I understand the struggles that it is to be an English language learning student in America. The curriculum is crazy different. The people is different. The culture is different. Just like, in America, it seems like just even the smallest things, like some ELL students would be like, wow, like, they look like they're disrespecting their teacher or something, you know, like these types of differences. And I think I can just connect with the students really well because I understand where they're coming from. And if I develop a mastery of the language, I can especially help. Like my friend started their practicum and she said that half the class she's in spoke Russian. And so there's tons of Ukrainians and Russians, you know, pouring in right now too, and it's like a good opportunity for me as a teacher to be able to speak with them, of course, and help them out.
Yeah, one of the things that I talked about with Amy was Chris Rakedahl, our state school superintendent, just spoke to us at the Fall Education Summit, and he talked about civility and dual language and how important that is, not just the 2 years in high school, but having an ability to immerse ourselves in multiple languages. And I think in 2022, you're talking about a modern society, a global society. I don't know how we can't offer Russian, Mandarin, some of these that are just so important, different, you know, Arabic, all of these, which could be like just incredibly useful. And obviously one of those would be Russian. How many languages do you speak, by the way?
English, Russian, and Ukrainian. I took French in high school, but again, 2 years, don't really remember any of it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think that was Superintendent Rakedahl's point is right now we take 2 years of, let's just say high school Spanish, high school French. We take 2 years just so we could get into college because that's required. So.
Yeah, it has to be a lifelong process. You'll forget it very quickly if you don't.
Yeah. This might take a little work, but, you know, there was a flyer around that I just saw here within the College of Education. We have a sport management program. It said sport management students of color, and trying to connect people, right, who may feel like they're walking the lonely road to other students who are maybe like them. I wonder if you walked around campus and posted flyers for, hey, seeking other students who are, you know, who are Ukrainian or Russian speaking or whatever. I wonder if there are a few there, but you might just never know.
There has to be. There has to be. Definitely. Yeah. They're not in my program, but maybe they're somewhere else.
Well, listen, I appreciate you joining me and talking about this experience. I think it gives an actual human face to the class that Amy did this once, and then of course the whole body of what she does in her class. Any last words? Anything that you would like to add?
Yeah, this was just yesterday. She had me do this other assignment where. I wish I had the sheet on me. You know what? I actually might have it. So I basically made a chart, and it had English and Russian and Ukrainian words on it. Oh, I don't have it. I must have left it in my desk or something, or maybe in class. But I made a chart where it says an English word, it's Russian characters, and then pronunciation, and then like a QR code that brings you to a person who speaks it. And I made the same for Ukrainian, And so basically they're these handouts that every teacher can have in their classroom. We have a classmate, Sam, who did it in Spanish. Micah did it in ASL. And so it's basically more resources. In the classroom, the teachers can have these posted up, and it says things like, raise your hand or take out your homework, please, thank you, good day, good afternoon, you know. And it just really helps you talk to your ELL students, because I know the one thing that an ELL student loves is when the teacher speaks their language or like brings them a book or something from their culture, you know, or tries, you know, just as long as the teacher is trying, that really brings up student spirits. So I'm hoping these types of handouts will do just that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And no biggie that you couldn't find it. I think I understood what you were talking about and what a help that is. So, well, thank you, Alec. And unless you have anything else to add, we'll cut it off here. And also, we appreciate having Amy Hernandez Matsumoto join us as well. So, Alec, thank you very much for joining me on this segment of Zoomed In. And best of luck to you in the future. And I hope you get some good photos in Belarus and good video. Maybe start a traveling teacher TikTok channel or something in Belarus.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Connect with some other. Yeah, so appreciate it. All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.